Today on Being Disciples, Holy Spirit Leading. What is it to have Holy Spirit lead us? How do we connect with Him? Let's discover that today on Being Disciples.
Welcome to the Being Disciples podcast with Pastor John. All notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us. This is a weekly podcast published every Monday that is meant to help believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ to mature in their faith. These principles should be useful to anyone who listens, but especially for the believers who are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You're invited on this journey to explore what it means to be a disciple. Let's begin by joining Pastor John with an opening prayer. Pastor John?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for so great a love that you have for us, that you sent your only begotten Son to redeem us and to restore us into a right relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, that for the joy set before you, you were willing to leave the majesty of heaven to come into this world, your creation, to redeem us and to restore us into a loving relationship with the Father. Thank you for laying down your life for us, both in the living of it and in the dying. In life, you showed us how we ought to live in intimacy with the Father, following the leading of Holy Spirit and loving one another. In death, you gave your body for us, bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions. You were beaten, battered, and bloodied, even pierced to the shedding of your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Now we ask you to give us the words to say and to open our ears and hearts to hear what you would say to us. Please bless all who join us today and all who hear this message on a recording. Amen.
Welcome to episode 37, Holy Spirit Leading. This is part two in our Trinity series. Last week, we looked at the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit is a member of the Holy Trinity along with the Father and the Son. One scripture verse that shows the Trinity describes a moment at the baptism of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 3, we read in verses 16 and 17, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" The fullness of God, the Trinity, is displayed here. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Being God, Holy Spirit was with God and was God, just as the Son, the Word, who we considered in the last study, the name of Jesus. We see Holy Spirit at the time of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That's Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. We previously discussed how God created the heavens and the earth by the power of His Word. The Word, Jesus, the Son, created the heavens and the earth. God said or spoke the Word. The Word had the full desired effect that fulfilled the will of God. We now see the presence of Holy Spirit at the time of creation. I see it this way. Creation was of the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit saw to it that the Word of God was fulfilled. That which God intends to be is always carried out. We read in Isaiah 55, 11, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." I believe that one function of Holy Spirit is to make certain that Scripture is fulfilled, that the Word of God is successful in doing what it is intended to do. Like any analogy to the Holy Trinity falls short at some point, my view of the Trinity may fall short as well. But I do believe there is a pattern I see in Scripture that mirrors the verses above concerning creation. I view the Holy Trinity as this: the Father of whom, the Son through whom, Holy Spirit by whom. As we see in Scripture, God desired, because of His great love for us, to send the Son to redeem us from our fallen state, that we may become children of God, forgiven for our sinfulness, and restored unto a loving relationship with Himself. The Father, of whom, in John 3:16 to 18, we read, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." We are to run the race set before us, or live our lives, looking to Jesus, our Savior, who by the shedding of his blood provided the forgiveness for us concerning our sinfulness. The Son agreed with the Father to come into his own creation to redeem us through his sacrifice on the cross. The Son, through whom? Hebrews 12:2 teaches us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Holy Spirit saw to it that the desire of God was fulfilled, facilitating the will of God. Holy Spirit made it possible, through the creative work of God, for Jesus to be born into this world. An angel was sent to Mary and explained to her what would take place. The Holy Spirit by whom? In Luke 1, verses 34 to 35, it says, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.'" Holy Spirit may be the member of the Godhead that is the most difficult to accurately define. I see the Holy Spirit as a regulator of sorts, the one through whom the power of God flows and is directed. In the Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary, we look up regulator as one that regulates. To regulate is a verb. 1A is to govern or direct according to rule. 1B is to bring under control of law or constituted authority and to make regulations for or concerning. Definition 2 is to bring order, method, or uniformity to. And number 3 is to fix or adjust the time, amount, degree, or rate of. Though not an exact definition of the work of Holy Spirit, I believe each of these definition points can be seen in various functions of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, being a member of the Holy Trinity, is God, and therefore is in full agreement with the Father and the Son concerning the will of God. The three members of the Godhead act in unison, united in purpose, as seen at the creation of mankind. First part of verse 26 in Genesis 1 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness.'" Notice the singularity of God, as well as the plurality of the Godhead. There is one God. The phrase, "then God said," shows a singular God with all members unified. But there are three persons. The phrases, "let us," and "in our," shows the unity in the will of God by the multiple persons. I'm not going to pretend to know everything there is to know about the Trinity. I'm not going to claim to have a complete understanding of the Trinity and how it functions. Such is the mystery of God, and we are to wrestle with our knowledge and understanding in order to grow in maturity and faith. I believe we are to pursue truth. I also believe that I am not expected to have a total knowledge and understanding of truth all at once or all of a sudden. I believe we grow into new levels of knowledge and understanding of God as we seek Him and dwell with Him in the secret place of the Most High. Proverbs 25:2 states, "It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out." Holy Spirit was sent to us by God after the ascension of Christ Jesus. He was sent to us to be, among other things, a witness to Christ, to teach us, and to help us recall the word of God. John 14:26 reads, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And down in verse 26 of chapter 15, we read, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." So who sent the Spirit, the Father or the Son? I think both did. They are one God and unified in purpose and will. Jesus stated that he was indeed one with the Father. In John 10:30, it's recorded, "I and the Father are one." And that's Jesus speaking. This is why the Jews wanted to stone him. They said it was blasphemy for him, being a man, making himself to be God. Jesus also revealed his divinity in his prayer to the Father, the high priestly prayer. This prayer is chapter 17 of the Gospel according to John. And we read in verse 11, "And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." And again, and this is one place where we are mentioned in the scripture, in verses 20 and 21 of the same chapter, he continues praying, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Holy Spirit, like the Son, is one with the Father and proceeds from the Father. Holy Spirit, as we saw in John 15, 26 above, is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. Holy Spirit operates in the power and authority of God, just as the Father and the Son do. We must firmly establish in the depth of our being, as a portion of the abundance of our heart, that Holy Spirit is God, a member of the Holy Trinity, the Godhead. Just as the Father sent the Son for our redemption, He also sends us Holy Spirit to empower us to live the life in this fallen world, or as Paul put it, to run the race. Holy Spirit is our helper, our teacher, and a witness to the things of God. Holy Spirit is the anointing. When we are asked by God to carry out a task or an assignment, it is Holy Spirit who empowers us to do so. This is what is referred to as the leading of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you are familiar with this passage of Scripture referring to the ways and thoughts of God. The prophet Isaiah writes in chapter 55, verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So how then are we to understand God or know what to do, how to do it, or what God thinks of a matter? We need Holy Spirit, our teacher, to bring to us the understanding and revelation we need in every situation. We are to have the mind of Christ. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, "The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We are to have discernment to appraise all things. This comes through the revelation, knowledge, and understanding provided by Holy Spirit. At the same time, the unbelieving world will not understand faithful Christians who are in a relationship with God, walking in obedience and love. Obedient believers who diligently study the Scriptures can understand all of Scripture, for we have the mind of Christ. That is, Christ Jesus, who knows God's thoughts, for He is God, sent Holy Spirit, also God, to us to teach us. They open our mind to the truths of God, just as Jesus did when He spoke to Cleopas and another disciple on the road to Emmaus. We find the story in Luke chapter 24. Verse 27 says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. Then Jesus appeared to the disciples, including Cleopas and the other, in Jerusalem. Jesus spoke to them, and it was described as, 'Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures.' Likewise, as we receive the promise in the Holy Spirit at our salvation and baptism, our minds are opened to the Scriptures as Holy Spirit teaches us what we need to know. This comes through study, through other disciples teaching us, and through revelation from God. Holy Spirit also carries the responsibility and authority to provide the spiritual gifts we need to do the ministry of the kingdom. The Father's desire is for all mankind to come to know Him and the joy of His salvation. As we saw in John 3:16, the Father sent His Son to redeem us, and those who believe will not perish. Peter writes in his second letter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The Lord Christ Jesus died for our sake, that all who believe may receive eternal life. He died for all, for the sin of the world, and the invitation to come to Him is open to every living soul." Again, John 3:16-18 tells us of this plan and desire for all to come to the Lord and receive eternal life. The invitation is to whoever will come. There are no restrictions to who may come and believe. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans in chapter 5, verses 10-13, "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, 'Everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is the Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.' The Father of whom wants all to receive eternal life and not perish. The Son through whom provides the way to escape damnation and to receive eternal life. Holy Spirit by whom provides to those who believe the means to live this life for the eternal kingdom as opposed to living by the ways of the world. Holy Spirit dwells within us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit." Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. This is the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Again, Paul writing to the church at Rome, chapter 8, verse 11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And that same Spirit will lead us and guide us now and throughout eternity. Jesus said of the coming Holy Spirit, and it's recorded in the Gospel according to John, chapter 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And it is Holy Spirit who distributes the spiritual gifts as he sees the need to do so. Paul, writing again to the church at Corinth, chapter 12, verses 4 to 11, now there are variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between the spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. There is so much more that the Holy Spirit provides for us in our navigation of this life, including the discernment we need to determine what is worldly and what is godly. In 1 John 2, 15 to 17, he records, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eye and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. There's so much to study and learn of Holy Spirit that we cannot cover it all in one episode. We are to lean on him for direction and understanding. Concerning the Son and the Holy Spirit, I will close this portion of the study with a couple of cautions or warnings that I see in Scripture. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 23, it says, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. And then in Matthew 12, verses 30 and 32, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. God, the Holy Trinity, stands united as one. We are invited to stand as one with each other and with God. Next time, we will look at the love of the Father. So we'll pause here and let Garrett give us a couple reminders on where you can find the notes and continue this study with us.
Let's take just a moment to remind you that all notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, it's virtualstudywith.us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. We will now move into conversation with this week's guest.
Thank you, Garrett, for those reminders. And we're happy to have today with Garrett and I, Pastor Steve Eichhorn, or Ike, as he's known to his friends. Welcome, Ike. I'm glad you agreed to come and talk with me again.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure and looking forward to it.
This idea of Holy Spirit leading, I did some teaching there, basically sharing scriptures about that the Holy Spirit does dwell within us. But the real question most people would have is to what purpose? I wanted to have a conversation with you, knowing you're involved in quite a bit of stuff. And like me, you know that it's the leading of the Holy Spirit that gets us into the right things and not just busy work. And sometimes, like I had to do about a week ago, take a little break and a little retreat to make sure I got out of the routine of the hamster wheel and got back to focusing on what he was leading me to do. Do you ever have times like that?
All the time. Get off the treadmill. Yeah, it's something that we don't do enough of. I believe that's when we have our divine appointments and our closest encounters with God and the Holy Spirit moves. When we clear our calendar, when we don't have agendas, when we just really want to listen rather than to try to just do things in busyness. So yeah, I totally agree.
One of the things I think new believers, new disciples have to get used to is seeing the Holy Spirit as actually God and a person, a member of the Trinity. Jesus taught us how to pray and praying to the Father. Jesus is obviously the focus, being our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer. Scripture really points to Jesus, and Jesus points us to the Father. But we also have to learn about Holy Spirit, because he's the one that dwells within us and points us to Jesus.
Yes. When you say that, I think what happens oftentimes for newer believers, and I do believe that unfortunately some of this is by our own doing because of maybe not complete teaching or misinformation, is that a lot of times the Holy Spirit is not really treated as an equal in the Trinity. And I guess I can only speak from my own personal experience, and I've been involved in church my whole life in two or three different denominations that are major denominations. If you were to take a tripod for a camera and you have three legs that pull out, one leg represents the Father, the other one represents the Son, Jesus, and the other one represents the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, oftentimes, it wasn't a tripod and it didn't stand straight like it was meant to, because the leg was so far pushed up that represented the Holy Spirit. Like anything in our faith, we're called to grow and to mature and to get off of the milk. And how do we do that? How do we mature as Christians? We mature by hanging out with other Christians, but by studying the Word, by knowing the Word, by having a personal love relationship with Jesus, understanding who he was, why he came. And then the other thing is to understand the importance and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that he is an equal. And the Father and the Son is an exact representation of the Father. And if you've seen him, then you know me. Well, unfortunately, in that example, they don't include the Holy Spirit. And so one of the things about it was that when Jesus was teaching, when he was going to ascend, and he was telling them, you don't want me to stay here because I have to leave in order for the Holy Spirit to come. And he even told them to wait. And so then, of course, Pentecost, when the tongues of fire and speaking in different languages and all of the miracles and all of the wind, just the whole thing that happened when the Holy Spirit became present. Now, we know, John, that the Holy Spirit is a result of us being born again, a new creation. It's a condition of the heart, and we have him. And everything, just like when you say the Word is the truth, and then the Word is Jesus. Well, the Holy Spirit reflects and is equal with Jesus and the Father, in that if you abide in them and you know them, when you begin to understand that the Holy Spirit is our advocate, that he does counsel us, that he will pray on our behalf when we don't know what to pray for. He gives us special gifts that are for us and for what we're meant to do and what our purpose is here in life. And you take that whole package. If you ignore it, it'd be just like saying, I don't accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I want to be a Christian. Well, the same thing is true if you don't want and expect to be filled with the Spirit and to have the authority and the power that he brings us. And that's what Jesus talked about. But all I'm trying to say is that if you want to really walk with the Lord and have all of the power and authority that we're supposed to have, then you want to be in tune and accept and seek the power of the Holy Spirit, because we are the living temple. And it's not something you choose. It's something you have to invite in. You say, I want Holy Spirit, come, fill me with your Spirit. And he does come in. To me, that's very important, because there are many Christians that are not really educated to seek. You know, they figure, well, I'm saved now and I love Jesus and I'm born again. But they stop there instead of really now seeking the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit always leads to Jesus and leads to the Word. And so one of the things about it is that's where you get the discernment, whether or not something is of God. The Holy Spirit will let us know. He'll give us that discernment. I didn't mean to get off on a rant, but my first thing about the Trinity is to recognize that he is equally as important as Jesus is to the faith. They work together as a team. It's a mystery. Let's face it, three in one. It's like saying the example that I was told when I was in church was, think of water. Well, it's water, but whether or not it's boiling or whether or not it's frozen and it's ice or whatever.
Or vapor.
Yeah, or vapor. There's different realms, but it's still water. And so in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all God. They're all one. It's one God, but there's three that make it up. So I hope that helps a little bit.
That's a tough topic to tackle and make it clear and understandable, but that's where the Holy Spirit actually does have to reveal it to our heart. Because I think I have understanding on certain things in the Christian life and what God wants, but I can't put it into words. I can have enough words to keep me on track with what I'm thinking about it, but to try to describe it to somebody else is tough. That's why I don't know when this happened and Spirit revealed this to me, but that's why I went to these verses here that actually show the Trinity, you know, whether it's the baptism or the creation or whatever. You see all three members of the Godhead in these experiences. And it is the Holy Spirit that reveals these truths to us as we're pursuing God, asking questions, wanting to search things out. Like the scripture says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to search them out. Well, we're called priests and kings in his kingdom. So it's to our glory or our benefit to search out these things. And when we do search them out and the Spirit reveals them to us, we are then greatly blessed and able to have more of an understanding in that relationship with God.
Amen.
I also stated that I thought one purpose of the Holy Spirit is to be sure that the Word of God is fulfilled. So when I came up with this idea of seeing the Trinity and all these, I started seeing this pattern. And again, I think it's accurate. I think it was revealed to me by Holy Spirit. But when you look at all these things where all three of them are revealed, the Father of whom, it all originates with the Father, that this is the will of God, but they're all in agreement that this is the will of God. Then he does things through the Son, whether it's our creation or our salvation or our redemption, even in his ascension, you can see them all. And then the Holy Spirit by whom, that the Holy Spirit sees that the will of God is carried out and even using the angels to do some of that. But however it's done, the Holy Spirit sees that this word does not return to him void, but accomplishes the purpose with which it was sent to accomplish.
I would take exception to that just a little bit, John, in that when you say through whom the Son, I have experienced a number of times, in my personal opinion, the whom was the Holy Spirit through him. There are many times when I believe that it was really more directly hearing from the Spirit, feeling in the Spirit what I'm to do or be aware, or I just am uneasy about something. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I've experienced that whom through the power of the Spirit.
Right. And like I said, every analogy falls a little short at some point.
Yeah.
And I'm sure mine does too. But like I said, it's hard to just actually describe in human words, the mysteries of a spiritual being of God, who's the creator of all things seen and unseen.
I taught a class on the Trinity and we did a study on it. And the one thing that came out of that was how difficult it is. I mean, the understanding of it and the depth of it and understanding that there are mysteries. You don't have to be the engineer mind to understand the three and one and that whole thing. Just understand that it exists, you know, because it does not necessarily make a lot of sense. Like Holy Spirit being a person. I had a hard time embracing that for a while. The Spirit and the person, well, the traits of the Spirit. He convicts and he leads and he encourages and he comforts and he has feelings and just all those types of things. That was really hard for me to personally grasp. But that's, I guess, one of the things about it is that if we seek for the Holy Spirit to be all he is meant to be, to reveal the things he wants to through us, then we start going on a journey. And rather than to grieve the Spirit and say it doesn't exist, or, you know, that's fine, but it's not for me. That may be, but my faith is Jesus Christ. You know, it's not that Jesus Christ isn't our faith and that the word isn't the truth. It's that they're all part of a package. And I'll just share an example. I have been involved. I've been led for a long time to youth ministry, probably 30 years now. We moved across the state line and I had a heart attack and I retired a little bit early and still involved in a lot of ministry. I had been praying over some land for quite a while. I'd formed a 501c3, and I had been given a dream and a vision of this boys' school or a retreat center or whatever for teenagers and kids that were in danger and dysfunctional families, things like that. So all of a sudden, this thing manifests, and here comes an organization out of nowhere that buys up, like, starts small, but ends up buying up a bunch of land. I volunteer, and I said, well, what's going on? And I just stopped by in an ATV to introduce myself and say hi. And I said, so what's this all about? And I had just pulled in. I wasn't planning on going there. The Spirit led me go in there. There's one person there. I have no idea who that person is. It was the director of this new founding school, Hope Farm School. And I said, so what's this all about and this and that? And I'm looking at him, and nice guy, and we're talking a little bit. And all of a sudden he looks at me, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And he said, well, actually, we're all about Jesus Christ and about kids coming into a personal love relationship with them and helping them to be disciples and to live a productive life as Christians. And I looked at him and I said, that's all I needed to know. I'm in. And what's interesting is I was very involved there for 5 years, 4 years. They ended up, and I was volunteering, and they're full-time and taking the boys on mission trips and doing teaching and all the different things. Then they offered me the job to be the spiritual director and communications leader and pastor there. And it was like a dream come true, a total dream come true. Thank you, just praise God. And I had that for a year. And everything was beautiful. It was just like, oh. And then I had been exposed to a Christian organization that's called Ecclesia, which is really an organization that is breaking out and going back to the roots in the Bible of the Acts Church and what the Acts Church was really meant to be. And so my wife and I were watching a broadcast, and we had taken some classes. And to make a long story short, there was kind of like an altar call. There was a call out by the fellow that was on the broadcast for the children. Holy Spirit convicted me. He said, what are you doing for my children? We're doing all of these great things and da, da, da. But what about my children? You know how I feel about the children. And then went on and we were talking about trafficking and sex trafficking, human trafficking, slavery, and the incredible problem it was. So here I am, spiritual director and pastor for this other organization. I'm downstairs at my computer watching this broadcast. My wife is upstairs watching it. And when the broadcast was over, I went up and I looked at my wife and she looked at me. We both had eyes this big. We both were just completely, totally convicted by the Holy Spirit. He called us out. He said, this is what your purpose is. This is where I want you to go. And so here I was in my perfect job, loving every minute of it. And 3 weeks later, I ended up resigning and going to get involved by hearing the call. And I say that because I was in tune. I was seeking. I want to hear from the Holy Spirit and do. And it was all the Holy Spirit that convicted me. And then I looked for confirmation in the Word and confirmation from people and things that were going on around us. And it just ended up happening. And so that's, to me, a real life experience that has changed my whole life. Now I've been very involved in this other organization. I would have never chosen to go this direction had it not been that the Holy Spirit was very clear with me and convicted me and my wife both at the same time. So that's an example to me of what the Holy Spirit can do. And he's equipped us. He's given us the tools. He's put us in contact with her. He's using the gifts that I have in prayer ministry, in teaching, and still working with the children. There's no coincidence. It was a divine appointment, and the Holy Spirit led me to it.
And is still leading you through it.
Yes.
So the importance here of the whole Trinity as a package, you can see, you know, Jesus in his high priestly prayer talks about being one with the Father and that unity that they have. But the one that got me is in one of the closing verses I referred to in Matthew, when he talked about that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. He says, you can speak against me, I'll still forgive you, but don't you dare speak against the Holy Spirit. The Godhead is one. They circle the wagons. I think, to me, I was so impacted when I first understood that verse that he's watching out for the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like, he isn't a lesser person. He's part of us. He's us.
Could not agree with you more.
Gareth, you've been led by the Spirit to do many things in your life. What do you have as an example to share with us?
There's a couple of things that are currently going on. My life has been one of, since my early 20s, dealing with medical conditions, one after the other, and God leading and guiding through the whole thing, which I know that to be fact and true. Recently, I just got engaged to my fiance, who she has cerebral palsy and is in a wheelchair. She can't do her own cares and everything. So I've stepped out in faith in that, knowing I'm supposed to love on her because she gives back to me in more abundant ways than I feel I give to her. But it is a win-win situation, and God's led me into that, and he's given me the health to work with her without much of a problem. And I just get to enjoy that time, and he blesses us. And so we're working on putting together our great marriage here in the next couple of years. So now some of the things I'm being led into, when I was talking about health and stuff, I've been dealing with a disease called sarcoidosis, which has killed the kidneys, and working on attacking the lungs and the liver. Well, I've been doing some learning about healing, and I'm being led more and more in that direction now, because where do I spend most of my time? With other sick people. I'm learning that God wants us to be healthy. Oh, okay. Well, then I know I'm supposed to put it into action. Because if I'm given these tools and these resources, and he puts this onto my heart to go do, I'm in a disobedience if I don't act. So I'm starting to put that all together and moving slowly. And not that I'm always great at it, not that I feel I'm got this down and completely understand everything. No, it's not about getting perfection. You have to start doing. God will lead you. And if you step out in that faith, love, and being led by the Holy Spirit, the things that he's given us authority in this world to do, he's already said, it's done. So taking the authority and then believing that, that's the hardest part for me, is believing that I have this authority to do these things in his name. So I'm working hard on getting the belief in my body saturating me fully, so that when I go out and do what he's called me to do, that he uses me and that I will be able to see the signs and wonders he has to help further his kingdom and bringing people into that. It's been an amazing couple of years. It all started with connecting with you, John, and really diving into this learning, and then also the learning from some of the things that Ike has had to say with the ecclesia and everything as well. So these are things that God's leading me towards and pulling me back in and going, it's not just a church building. It's not just a place. It's this daily walk. It's talking to him anytime. And talking for me is like he's in my co-pilot seat, the passenger seat along with me. And I have just a conversation when I'm there. Those are my best times. And to me, that's what you want to be walking in. That's the kind of relationship I envision, is that he's actually there. And he is, which is the fun part about it, is that God's with me every moment of every day. And if I call upon him, which I do more often than not now, it's like, okay, I'm having this struggle. I'm having that. Let him take it. Let him deal with it. It's him. Then I can free up to do what he's called me to do. I just think it's cool. It's awesome the way he put this together for us.
So Ike, I think you would agree that learning to hear the voice or the sensing of the Holy Spirit leading us, not only in the big things, but all the little things. Like I shared, my first hunting experience, deer hunting experience, was this year. And at one time I was starting to sense the presence of the Holy Spirit strongly. And I asked my buddy that took me, so were you praying for me at that time? And told him when it was. And he says, yeah, I was actually praying that even if you didn't get to shoot one, you'd at least get to see something. And I say, yeah, it's funny because I was sensing the Holy Spirit on my left side, primarily just to my left. And I kind of got the sense I should look to my left. And sure enough, there's two deer walking out of the thicket right there, just as I looked. So recognizing these little things. And then at our ecclesia on Wednesday, I was kind of impressed that one gentleman during our time of prayer spoke up and asked another woman there to pray specifically as the Holy Spirit led her to pray and to do it in a certain way. And she agreed to. So he followed the leading Holy Spirit to direct the traffic. She followed the leading the Holy Spirit to pray. And I was actually the beneficiary of that, and some of her prayer was for me specifically and with some pretty immediate results. So learning just in our daily life of recognizing the Spirit, I think you'd agree with that, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's a process. It's not an event. I think you and I both know, we all know part of it is a reflection of our relationship at the time. If we are walking with the Lord, if we're abiding, if he's in us and we're in him and we're studying and everything like that, then that just sets the table for us to, for the Holy Spirit to come and move, to work in us and through us. Like I said, I'm kind of a newbie on the block. There's a program that came out of United Kingdom called Alpha with Nikki Gumbel, and it's an evangelistic program. It's a dinner and a movie and a talk, and it's really about, in a non-threatening way, people that wouldn't normally go into a church that would come for a dinner and a talk and some laughter and things like that. But the gospel and the basics of the gospel are taught very, very well. And it's non-denominational and that type of thing. But the reason I'm bringing this up is that for about 5 or 6 years, I facilitated a number of these. And we had big teams and a lot of people there. Then in the middle of the program is the Holy Spirit Day Away, where it's basically like a mini retreat. And there's 3 talks and there's laying on hands, just a lot of different things that you experience. So from that time, I guess now maybe it's been maybe even 10, 12 years since that took place. That was the working of the Holy Spirit revealing himself. And as I understood who the Holy Spirit was, what his purpose is, then I became more in tune to it and I sought it and I'd pray for divine appointments. And I'd start saying things like, I don't believe in the word coincidence. I see God in everything, and I see the Holy Spirit, and the word is always comes back to truth.
And I've been walking with the Lord for 37 years now, some days better or worse than other days, depending on my conviction and my willingness to walk in obedience, but I'm still learning about it. Mm-hmm. So I think anyone that's honest in their walk with Christ, it's one of those old things. The more we learn, the more we know that we don't know what we thought we knew. And we're all beginners and newbies, I think, until we get into eternity when he starts really revealing why this whole thing existed, what was going on here. But it's all an education.
I think one thing that also we should mention, and I know you mentioned it in your study, is the power of the gifts that is given by the Holy Spirit. Some call it spirituals, others call them gifts, whatever. But I think it's also very important to know God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. If you believe that we are created for a purpose and that we're all different and that we may have a similar or something that complements each other, it may be totally unrelated. But what's interesting is that Holy Spirit knows, and that relationship with the Father and the Son of us being created. He knew everything about us before we were knit in our mother's womb. So the gifts that we get, oftentimes that's an area that people don't really appreciate and really try to develop. And I would encourage anyone that is learning about the Holy Spirit, accepting the Holy Spirit, to do some research and to maybe ask some fellow Christians that are maybe a little bit more mature to guide them and help them to see what they see. And because whether it's prophesying or whether it's teaching or it's, there's so many different gifts. When I taught them in Alpha, it's like the sweet spot. Isn't it interesting how you may be able to do this or that, or you've studied to do it, but maybe all of a sudden there's just something that you end up being really good at. Maybe it's hospitality. But the bottom line is those spirituals, if you've been given one, you want to know about it and you want to see where that leads, because oftentimes that's where you're most natural and where your blessings will come from, because he created you with that for a reason and it's going to help you do what you're meant to do in the kingdom. So John, you're an evangelist, you're a teacher. So you're utilizing some of these gifts that you've been given with your podcast and with the ministry that you do. And when you realize that every believer is given gifts according to what their purpose is, and where they're not all the same.
And we're not always limited to those gifts either. I believe that whatever the situation calls for, I may be given the gift of teaching, maybe in the role of pastor, mm-hmm. but I'm used for evangelism, mm-hmm. praying for people, intercession, whatever is called for at that moment, the Holy Spirit can empower you to do. And yes. The interesting thing is in Paul writing to the Corinthians, that he talks about all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So going back to what you were saying about he knows what's needed in this situation. Share the gospel. Does this person need to be healed to have it hammered home that it's true? For example, I've shared the story many times. When I surrendered to the Lord, I was delivered instantly from drugs and alcohol and didn't even know it for 30 days. And then he revealed it to me and I was amazed. But that 30-day period of not realizing it was so big and so, I don't want to say unbelievable, but it was so foreign to me. It was like that so hammered home the point that this salvation is reality, that this is a real deal, that I've never turned back. Amen. So he got me to where he needed me to be and did what he needed to do to show me, and I needed to pay attention. When we're walking by faith and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we'll sense a leading to do something. We'll get an idea that we know just isn't really from us. And the real key is to take that first step of faith. Like you said, with the farm school, the first thing was to buy a little bit of land to get things established. Pretty soon they bought more land. The Holy Spirit brought you by there and end up being one of the directors. These things happen step by step. Noah didn't just go out and build the ark. He had a whole bunch of things that he walked by faith and in obedience to the point where he so trusted God that when God said, build this ark, he was ready to build it. But the ark didn't just appear. He had to do the labor. He had to accomplish gathering up the materials and going through the building of it and dealing with the people all around him at the time too, which was a sinful world. I'm sure he went through much mocking and ridicule while he's also sharing the message of repent before the living God. We all have these variations of what we're walking through. It says that the Spirit, and it's the same Spirit, but it's as he wills, he doles out these gifts or abilities at certain times. I know a number of people that public speaking wasn't their thing, but when they took that step of faith, they grew into it. I know I used to sweat bullets. Now it's one of the easiest things. When I got into a sales job, the hardest thing was doing cold calls. But if somebody called me that they wanted to see what I had to offer, that was like the easiest day ever to just walk in and share information. And I think a lot of those types of jobs that I had prepared me for what the Lord has me doing now. Yes. So it is all a process and a phasing and a progression through different things to get us to where he ultimately wants us to be, that it's not just an overnight zapping and here you are.
And the word that I would use is pursue and be intentional. If you're being led to be discipled and to grow in your faith and to walk with the Lord, and topic is the Trinity, and if you're not really used to seeking what the Holy Spirit is telling you, or if you think, wow, that was a coincidence, and wow, that you're lucky, you know, really? Are you sure? So be intentional. Try for a while. Read about it. Pray about it. Ask Holy Spirit to reveal. I ask oftentimes not only for wisdom and revelation, but for divine appointments. And when I have divine appointments, it's always the Holy Spirit that arranges it. He's doing the work. You got nothing to lose and everything to gain if this is something new for you.
So here's a live time example. I've been wondering what the episodes were going to be after this idea of the Trinity. It's a 5-part series. And so wondering that, the Holy Spirit just led me as you were talking. Here's another episode coming up, pursuing God. And what does that really mean? What does it mean to pursue God? What does it mean to dwell in the secret place of the Most High? But more often than not, I think it's we develop this plan and this is what I want to accomplish. This is what I'm going to do. What I learned was mainly when I was talking to somebody else, the Spirit gives us the words to speak sometimes. I had been coming in telling people of stories of ministering on weekends and feeding the poor and praying for people that were healed and seeing changes in lives. And so people were always asking me, you know, where can I get involved in this and that? But I had coffee with the pastor one day and he says, why do you think we don't see more of that here? And I says, well, more of what? He says, the things you talk about that you're seeing out on the streets. And I says, well, being the guy that runs the PowerPoint, I see your schedule and how everything's scheduled to the minute. If you were to have a service where the worship leader felt led by the Spirit to continue playing the worship and call the elders down, the pastors and elders to pray with the people, whoever wanted ministry, would you let him do that? And he says, no, he wouldn't really have the freedom to do that. I said, okay, and you sitting in your seat that you sit in every week during the worship time, if you felt that leading from the Holy Spirit, would you tell him to keep playing and call the elders and pastors down to pray with people? And he hesitated. And I said, see, that's the point. You're so scheduled to your schedule by the minute that there's no room for the Holy Spirit to operate. He's doing something in here, but what you want to see isn't happening because there's no room for him. So we have to be flexible. So one thing I do and I try to teach people is schedule margin into your schedule. Don't have your schedule so tight that if he says go visit this person, you can't do it because your schedule's too tight. And I think that's one of the ploys of the enemy these days. He's gotten people and families so busy with everything going on that they aren't hearing what God wants them to do because they're off doing what they feel they need to be doing. And I think that's really unfortunate in the family life. But we also need to, in our personal lives, make plans. So for example, let's use that farm school, for example, again. He knows he has to buy a piece of land. He finds it, prays about it, feels led that that's it. Okay, so he starts there. But then the adjustment comes that, well, you need a couple more acres, or he has an idea how he's going to build this school. But the Holy Spirit says, I'd prefer you did it this way. And he has the flexibility to move and change. You show up. No, I got their staff, everybody's in line and we're going to do it. But rather than that, he hears the leading of the Holy Spirit within himself that here's your volunteer that you need to take care of this certain purpose. And so he welcomes you in, and we need to adjust on the fly a little bit.
Totally agree. I just had a short little vision while you were talking with that pastor. And here's a compromise. I mean, we know what we do in Ecclesia as far as really letting the Holy Spirit have his way. And we don't put time restraints on it. But, my thought was, well, why doesn't, if you've got an hour long service, why don't they have a 40 minute service and then save 20 minutes for Holy Spirit praise and worship prayer time and just let it be open and see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. It'd be interesting to see what kind of response would be if you gave the Holy Spirit freedom and time in a structured environment like that, how quickly things could change.
I'm happy to say that was one experience. I've had other experiences where the Spirit was free to move. And I think that's why that was so highlighted to me, because previous experience at a church where worship went on until people quit coming for prayer. And then the pastor made a decision to either adjust and shorten his sermon or run a little late or something. I know there was even a time I remember that he decided not to preach. He says, you know what? He says, it's not about me and my message. It's about what God wants. We're just going to continue to worship. So Amen. You leave whenever you feel you need to leave. We're just going to worship. And that's so, so I've had the benefit of both types of church services going on. Ike, I want to thank you for joining us. So any final words you would have on leading in the Spirit?
I just pray for a divine appointment for whoever is listening and has been, led to this point. I believe that if you're listening to this podcast, the Holy Spirit is already working. I would just pray that you would be blessed and would grow in your knowledge, not only of the word, but of how the Holy Spirit is using the word, leading to Jesus and guiding you to the truths and to your gifts. You're in for a great ride. If you've not experienced these types of things, all I can tell you is hold on to your seat. It's going to be a joy ride. So God bless you. Thank you for inviting me.
Garrett, any brief closing thoughts on your part?
I, again, believe in the ordained appointments and the ordained connections that God has for us. There is no coincidence. So be open to that. Get yourself plugged in with a group of people that can help disciple you as well. If you're new to this and if you stumble upon this podcast, we are a couple of resources. You can always feel free to reach out to any one of us, and we would be more than willing to help discuss and guide and help you even find a good local church to plug into, because we still need the social aspect as well, or even an ecclesia group of teaching, which is another whole thing, small groups and whatnot. Just an amazing way of doing church and growing your faith. I just think we need to keep moving forward in that. And this teaching was great. I thank Ike, because every time I hear Ike speak, it blows over me. And it actually enhances my ability to grow and look at different aspects of what I'm trying to deal with, and then how God makes it all fit and then confirms it through both your teaching, John, what Ike says, and then what I go look up in the Bible. It's amazing.
Ike, there's a place on OKM, Omega yep. Kingdom Ministries website, that has Ecclesia's. Is that okmtraining.org?
Yes. We're in the process of putting together a map. It won't be long and it will be out there where it's a map of the nation, but you click on where you're at or an area you want and actual names will come up and information on ongoing ecclesia meetings, and they're online or in person. And also the other thing with this website that I would encourage you is that there's a lot of advanced learning classes fitting right in line with what John's discipleship podcasts are all about. It's a lot of opportunity to grow in the knowledge of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of what ecclesia is all about. And it's really about the Acts Church going. It's what did Jesus want us to do? It's free.
One more thing I'd like to do is ask you if you would be so kind as to pray for people that really need to gain an understanding of Holy Spirit and what it is to follow the leading of Holy Spirit in their lives.
Okay, excellent. Heavenly Father, I praise you. We praise you. We love you. What an opportunity it is to learn and to grow about who you are, about the mystery of the Trinity and the power of the Holy Spirit. How you equip us for what you're calling us to do, how signs and wonders, miracles, you tell us in your word that greater gifts than these, that we'll be able to do greater gifts than those that the disciples were doing when he was sending them out. Many of us forget that you are the healer. Many of us forget that if we would come to you first and seek your guidance and your wisdom, that a lot of the things in the world and of the flesh maybe would not even be necessary. So Lord God, for those that have, first of all, I guess I would say for anyone who's listening that has any kind of medical infirmity, it has any kind of situation that is causing them pain or ongoing situations like that, we lift those situations up to you. And your word tells us that by your stripes we're healed, that through the power and the blood of Jesus, that just by using your name, that healing can take place. And we don't understand, we don't have to know why or how and the whole bit. That's the beautiful thing about the supernatural. You are God, you are sovereign. And between your word and your truth, between your power and your authority, and between the gifts that you give us, we have the ability to take control and cast out any demons that might be bringing in something that needs deliverance from it, whether it be pornography, whether it be drinking and alcoholism, whether it be other kinds of addictions, or maybe it's maybe just an identity issue where you just don't think you're worthy and that you know, you don't know what I've done. Well, God does know what you've done, and he loves you, and he created you. And if you haven't accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you can do that right now. So we pray for a complete and total healing in the name of Jesus. And I also pray for you to have encounters through the power of the Holy Spirit, the things that start looking at things differently and seeing God and seeing that he is around you everywhere in the Holy Spirit. And I would ask that you would keep your mind open rather than to shut it. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Instead, just say, Lord, if you're there, if you're real, then come into my life. I accept you. Fill me with your Spirit. We just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ike. Next time, we're going to look at Trinity Part 3, the Father's love, his desire for intimacy, and he sent his son to bring us into that relationship with him. So I look forward to joining you next time on Being Disciples.
Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Being Disciples. The show is hosted on Podbean. You can find it at beingdisciples.podbean.com. Again, it's beingdisciples.podbean.com. There you can find all episodes of this podcast. There's also a Patreon button you can use to support this broadcast if you feel so moved. And we thank you. You can also find us on your favorite podcast platform. The notes and links for this show can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us, virtual study with us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. From the site, you can contact us if you would like to join a study group. If you have questions or comments for Pastor John, you can contact him by email at john.anoka@virtualstudywith.us. That's John, J-O-H-N, dot Anoka, A-N-O-K-A, at virtualstudywith.us, or through the contact form on the main page of the website. Please subscribe to this podcast and join us again next week as we learn more about being discipled.